Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations Headquarters. Coming up in this week's program, why men need to get on board to end the AIDS epidemic by 2030. And we hear how a UN-sponsored conference on space has inspired an award for women scientists in Nepal. But first, transforming those who have suffered sexual exploitation and abuse perpetrated by UN personnel from victims into survivors is the goal of the first ever official appointed to advocate on their behalf. Jane Connors took up the post of UN Victims' Rights Advocate in August and undertook her first field visit 2 months later. She has already visited the UN's peacekeeping operation in the Central African Republic, the CAR, and this week she was in South Sudan. They're two of the four countries where the majority of cases of sexual exploitation and abuse have occurred. Ms. Connors spoke to Alban Mendez de Leon about the lessons she has learned so far and her hopes for the future.
There's been a long period of time within the UN where policies and reports have been issued with regard to sexual exploitation and abuse in this context. But there wasn't really that focus on the victims. I like to say we want to translate a victim into a survivor. And to translate a victim into a survivor, you need to ensure that from the very moment that the victim can complain, the victim knows where to complain, the complaint will be taken seriously, investigated seriously, and any immediate assistance requirements or long-term assistance requirements will be met, and hopefully there will be accountability through justice.
You were recently in Central African Republic. What lessons did you learn?
I learned that in context of poverty, insecurity, and general lack of enjoyment of human rights, these sorts of issues can occur and occur much more easily than in other contexts. And I learned that the human spirit is resilient. With regard to the victims to whom I spoke, they wished for justice, they wished for accountability, but they weren't sitting around waiting for it. They were getting on with their lives, assisted by one of the programs, UNICEF, and by implementing partners.
UN Victims' Rights Advocate Jane Connors speaking to Alban Mendez de Leon. The AIDS epidemic won't end without addressing worrying trends among men. That's the view of Simon Bland, head of the UN AIDS office in New York, who says ending the epidemic by 2030 means getting men who are less likely to access healthcare treatment on board with testing and prevention. In observance of World AIDS Day on the 1st of December, UNAIDS reported that less than half of men living with HIV are receiving treatment and are more likely to die of AIDS-related illnesses than women. Mr. Bland spoke with Natalie Hutchison about the social and political dimensions involved in making global progress.
While great progress has been made and is being made, we have over 21 million people now on treatment, accessing antiretroviral therapy. Still 17 million more people need that treatment, and we have challenges ahead. So if we want to get to that goal of ending AIDS by 2030, we need to redouble those efforts and accelerate the progress we've made in order to get there.
What would you say is the theme for today?
So our theme is around the right to health. And so when one talks about accessing healthcare services, accessing the diagnostics, accessing the therapy, accessing the care that they need, we need to think about the accessibility of that care, the availability of that care, the acceptability of that care being provided without stigma or discrimination, and the quality of that care. We need to tackle stigma and discrimination and policies and laws that prevent people from accessing the health that they need. And we think particularly about the many, many different contexts in which the HIV epidemic fits. So while we see incredible progress in sub-Saharan Africa, where the burden is the greatest, we also see some worrying trends in North Africa, Eastern Europe and Central Asia. We've also released a report today in Canada that talks about the specific challenges of getting men and boys to access healthcare treatment more broadly, but also within the HIV context to be tested to access the treatment they need. And if we don't tackle that challenge as well, then we don't tackle the problem that women and girls face, because the disease, of course, is transmitted through men and women.
So what is something that maybe you'd like to get out that perhaps the general population isn't aware of about AIDS prevention that you think is particularly important?
So I think for the general population, the first thing I'd want to say is that AIDS isn't over, but it can be. So one of our messages is complacency kills. We can't be complacent. We're not there yet. The gains that we've made are fragile, they're unfinished, and they're reversible, and so we need to keep going. We need to sort of reinvigorate the response globally. We need to redouble our efforts to ensure that the investments are made where they're needed to get people to access the services both for prevention and treatment.
So would you say prevention and treatment is the key in successfully ending AIDS in 2030, and are you optimistic that we can reach that goal?
One, the AIDS movement and the AIDS response has been characterized by setting ambitious targets and driving an agenda forward. So the progress that we've made today is unbelievable when you think where we were a decade or so ago. So I am optimistic, but I know it's a little bit passé to say business as usual doesn't get there, but it doesn't get us there. We are going to have to make some changes.
That's Simon Bland, head of the UN AIDS office in New York, speaking to Natalie Hutchison. A UN-sponsored conference on space and sustainable development has inspired the creation of an award for women scientists in Nepal. That's according to Manisha Dwa with the Nepal Astronomical Society, based in the capital, Kathmandu. Ms. Dwa attended the first high-level forum looking at how the global space sector can contribute to efforts to combat challenges such as climate change. The event, held last year in Dubai, was jointly organized by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, or UNOSA, and the United Arab Emirates Space Agency. I caught up with Ms. Dwa at this year's forum, which took place in November.
Although we are like working soldier to soldier, I'm more focused on women and girls because, of course, we are going to take everything parallelly, but still the number of women is very less. So we are trying to promote and encourage them to be a part of it so that we can do all the space-related and astronomical-related as well as STEM education-related programs together.
And so how do you go about encouraging young girls to become interested in STEM, that's science, technology, engineering and mathematics?
Well, there is a taboo like science is very hard in Nepal. So first of all, we need to remove that from their mind. So we have a program for different level, that as primary, lower secondary and secondary level, as well as university level as well.
We know from research that girls who started out strong, interested in math, science, when they get to the teenagers, they kind of fall off. Are you seeing that in Nepal? And if so, what do you do then to get girls interested again in science and space?
Yeah, that is really a very big problem in Nepal. Even girls, they are interested in science. Still, they like pressurized to pursue education in other subjects. Either they go for medical engineering, and apart from that, like they go for management. The parents and the society, they have this kind of belief that like if you go for management or some other streams, then you can get a good job and earn more money. But if you are into science, pure science, like you are going to get nothing. So me being a part of different program like this conference, whatever I'm doing outside the country, and I'm sharing whatever we are doing in our country, looking at my like interviews and like all these sort of things, they were like, oh, Manisha Didi means like elder sister. We are quite inspired, and they try to follow this such kind of trend, you know, like even we can do something. So that is how like they are getting encouraged.
And Manisha, this is your second time attending the forum. Tell me, when you went back to Nepal after last year's forum, what did you take with you?
Although like girls have interest in science, they are not well recognized like other boys used to do. So we started Women in Science Award.
This had never existed before.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Well, when I was here in 2016, the number of women and even the Women in Space Science luncheon that we had, meeting with all those beautiful ladies, like I felt like even my women back in my country, they need to get some recognition. So we started a different program, which is inspiring them. And like last time we had a teacher's meet and greet program in which the ladies teacher, they said like, why don't you even start a science teacher award? So we are going to start that from the coming year.
Manisha Dwa from the Nepal Astronomical Society. You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.